Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this very unique, shall we say, episode of Wrestling Rewind here on the audio side of the Jeff Meacham Network. Today, Greg Cherry is with me, as always, for Wrestling Rewind. I'll be honest with you, folks, I'm not having a good cosmetic day. I look like shit, I feel like shit, and I didn't feel like being in front of a camera today, so we're changing things up. And not only that, we're also changing the matchup. I know I've been promoting for weeks now the Intercontinental Championship match between Kane and Chris Jericho way back in 2002 on Monday Night Raw in September. But, Greg, a post came up yesterday across my social media timelines, and it reminded me of something that I wanted to really watch with you that I haven't had a chance to watch with you yet. And I hope you can understand why I changed today, and as we go along, I will explain why I changed to this particular match, but we'll go along and see how it goes. How are you doing today,
Well, you know, getting ready for my next defense. Hopefully it's nowhere near as, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, yeah, hellish as it was against Ruben on the last episode. Hopefully I get... it's insane. I had a rough September 18th. I had a very rough.
Yes, without question.
Not only did I suffer through that and still end up victorious, but I lost one of my other championships. So it was not exactly my shining day.
No, and I've always had September kind of suck in general in the course of my lifetime. So I am perfectly okay with moving on from September. And, you know, the classic cliche of today is wake me up when September ends by Green Day. We both have that in our history, do we not? I wanted to go back because yesterday, William Patrick Corgan, the head of the Smashing Pumpkins and the owner and president of the NWA, put out a social media post marking the one-year anniversary of the initial NWA Power tapings and reminded us all that Power's not gone. It's just not here right now. And I wanted to watch the match from the debut of Power between the two men we're going to watch today. And I thought, you know what? There's more of a connection for me for this match because I was there. And it was my first live viewing of an NWA World Championship match. It had to have been, at least 6 years. So it was very cool for me to step into the Ocean View Pavilion out here in Port Wainimi, California, and see the 10 pounds of gold and see it contested. And then to interview Tim Storm afterwards was just tremendous. And that'll be part of this broadcast today as it goes up on Anchor and across our media, our audio outlets, excuse me. But for those of you that haven't figured it out by now and you haven't read the description, first of all, I encourage you all to read. Reading is important, kids. So let me keep that in mind. But we are watching the NWA World Heavyweight Championship match. It's one of the early videos on the new NWA YouTube. The link will be in our description. The title of it is actually Tim Storm versus Nick Albus, NWA World Championship Heavyweight Championship Match 2017. It's it was posted at the very end of 2017. And the thumbnail is a Nick and Tim standing off in the middle of the ring. So it's a tremendous match. And there is controversy, which led to the rematch in which Nick became the world champion for the first time. But we'll get there later today. So, again, the link's in the description as we go along here. So if you guys haven't clicked it by now and opened it up, I'm sorry. But we got to get going. So let's everybody hit play in 3, 2, 1, go. And there you see the man at 10 seconds into the video, the man who has become the national treasure, the man who has carried the championship for, my goodness, you know, not quite Greg Cherry length yet in the second reign he's in right now, but damn near close, folks. And there you see it out there in the crowd there, a replica of the 10 pounds of gold. Got to love the Ontario Reign fan there, the hockey
jersey. I'm trying to see if, were you on camera? Are you on?
You can't see me distinctly. I think I'm, okay. I'm pretty sure I was the guy in the aisle there with his phone in his hand trying to shoot a shot. Pretty sure that was me. I also can't remember what side of the arena I'm sitting on, or a studio, I should say. remember where I was here, because I know I'm here, and my boy Travis from the Wild Days is here, and Dylan's there too. Yeah. So Dylan and I and Travis are all in attendance, and like I said, we got to meet Tim after this and take a picture with him and the 10 pounds of gold. I think that's me right there in the middle. Yeah, I just know that's not me. That's AJ's shirt, so that's definitely not me. I don't have AJ Styles shirt. I know I'm there, though. That might be me there, the bald guy with his phone in his hand up to his face. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. Okay, up there in the crowd, there's a guy with a beret-type hat on there. That's okay. Travis. So I'm like right there in that area. And there he is, man. The man atop the mountain, Tim Storm. The perfect storm. There you see Joe Galli there to his right. He is the current voice of the NWA when he's not stuck in Texas with weather nastiness for his news broadcasts. But on the call, if you're watching along on YouTube and listening to the commentary, which I encourage you guys to do, great commentary team here. You've got Joe Galli, Todd Kennelly, who is on our United Wrestling Network recaps every Wednesday morning, and or Wednesday afternoon, I should say now, and Johnny LaQuasta, who's now with NXT. So great team here, great match here. It's just awesome.
Now is Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, is that like a local affiliate, or is that like, what is that?
They were at one time our local affiliate to the NWA. Back when the NWA was a territorial system before Billy Corgan bought them out of the hell they had been put in by Bruce Tharp and company in the post-TNA years. Hollywood Wrestling was the home of Adam Pearce. It was the home of Colt Cabana as NWA champion, those guys. And Dave Marquez has ran the company for a very long time. They've been around since the mid-2000s. I dare say even further back than that. But I first started going to their shows in right around the same time I started wrapping up the XMV years and really started doing my solo shows. So they've been around for quite a while. And I love this promotion. I love the presentation. It's studio wrestling. It's so funny that, you know, we talked about this on the show, I think last week with Todd Kennelly, the fact that, you know, the NWA fans were so, oh, they brought back studio wrestling. It's like Marquez has been doing studio wrestling for like a decade and a half. Like we in California are familiar with the studio wrestling and we love it. And it was so cool that whatever damage had been done to the relationship between the United Wrestling Network and the NWA during the Tharp years had been repaired enough where we got to see the 10 pounds of gold defended in Southern California. It was just unbelievable. We're going to talk about it, Tim and I, after this match, but this is the first NWA championship defense in Ventura County since Harley Race had been champion in the 70s. So this is huge for us. Like, as far as, I mean, granted, I'd seen the NWA championship defended in Southern California, you know, due to Adam Pearce being here. But as far as this particular county of Southern California, Ventura, you know, out near the beach. I mean, literally, you walk outside this pavilion, the beach is right there. So it's a great setting. It's a beautiful city. It's a great area. The theater is fantastic. I love the whole setup. And they've actually changed the actual look of the studio in the last almost 3 years now. My goodness, it's been 3 years since this match happened. It's crazy. It's a great setup. I love it. You know, it's very conducive to the type of atmosphere you want when you're presenting, you know, for lack of a better term, canned wrestling. Because you've got an audience that just wants what they want, and they are vocal, but they also appreciate what we get from these guys in the ring every single week. And, you know, you've got, you know, at this stage of the game, as we sit here now, you and I, Greg, 3 years after this, you're looking at arguably, you know, the best world champion in the game right now in Nick Aldis. You know, I mean, people talk about Drew McIntyre and he's WWE champion, and people talk about Roman Reigns and he's, you know, clearly the tribal chief after last weekend. My goodness. But Nick Aldis is what he says he is. He's the real world champion. He's defended the title all over the world. Literally, he was the first NWA champion to go into China ever.
That's insane.
You know, they talk about, you know, only Nixon go to China back in 72. Nick Aldis defended the championship against Colt Cabana in China. And that was huge for the NWA, for Nick Aldis, for Marquez, for everybody. It was just a great, a huge, huge moment in wrestling. And the whole Mick, oh, and that's just what it is. So let's just call it what it is. That just is what it is. Goodness gracious. You know, it's so funny. When Nick was champion in the first reign, they brought in James Ellsworth to challenge him at one point here this very studio. And, you know, and Ellsworth talking about, all a man needs is two hands. And it's like, well, yeah, that was one hand right there, right to Nick's face. And now he's just chopping it down. Jesus criminy.
Uh-oh.
Oh! Yeah, I love the entire presentation of the Ocean View Pavilion whenever Champion Wrestling Hollywood takes over and sets up, because it looks, it's got a slick feel to it. I like it.
I mean, if we ever make it out to California and there's a Championship Wrestling from Hollywood taping, I'd love to go.
Oh, without question. Yeah, if the role ever writes itself, we definitely got to get you to a Hollywood Wrestling.
Well, the election's over in a month, so it'll fix itself.
Well, yeah, that's it. So come January, one way or the other. Yeah. By the way, I loved your show yesterday. Like, I wasn't able to watch it live because I had my appointment, but I got back and I needed the chuckle, man, because I had a shitty day yesterday. And between you and the show and then Teresa and I just yucking it up with the kids on the phone, I ended the day on a good note. So I appreciate the hell out of that. That was awesome. Oh my God. What a circus. And it's just, it's unfortunate because of where we live right now. We can't see stuff like this live because it's just, we can't go anywhere. You know, I had to convince my mom of the virtues of, taking my friend to Downtown Disney for a lunch and cocktails and then staying at what is going to be a celebration later. It sucks. Yeah, it's, What's really cool is the guy in the very front row there, right in the middle there with the white dress shirt on and the tie. If you're familiar with my old posts back when I first started in the business, he was a photographer, that attended our Epic War shows back when I was working with Gary. And there's a great picture of he and I from that time. I'm in the infamous Jeff Meacham trench coat with a full head of hair. Because it's pre-Dylan, and I look fabulous. And then the next picture in the folder is of him helping my fat ass up after getting knocked the hell out at ringside, jacket off with the white Epic shirt on. So I'm a fat guy in a white t-shirt. It's never a good situation. it was funny. And like I said, right next to him is the Ontario Reign guy jersey. I love that our LA Kings minor league team is represented in the biggest NBA championship match in the last 10 years. It's awesome.
I noticed that design. I was going to ask about it.
Yes. The Ontario Reign was originally our, for lack of a better term, C-string team. And our main affiliate, our minor league team, the Manchester Monarchs, is back, back on your end of the country. And, Kings management finally had, wait a minute, why is our main affiliate, our guys that are like the next level down, 3,000 miles away? Switch. Yeah. So the guys that run the Monarchs became the Reign and vice versa. So now what's really cool is that their home arena, which is where the infamous, the Bullet Club invasion of Raw took place that Jimmy Jacobs got fired for. Is about 10 minutes from JJ's house. So they're at ring games. When we can go, that is, they're at ring games all the time. So we get the hockey love here in SoCal for sure, man, between the Kings and the Reign. I hope that whatever the draft brings us will be good to us next year. Now the cup's been raised, we can focus on next year.
You know, there's something so simplistic about the studio wrestling setup.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I love it. I've loved honestly, other than the ones I actually worked for, Championship Wrestling Hollywood's been my favorite promotion since I've been going to indie shows the last 17 years now. They just it's a simple layout. They pick very basic stuff, but it looks fantastic. You know, I've never had a problem with any of their setups, whether it was the recent Showcase Theater or the Glendale Studios where we said goodbye to Percy, which I still it's hard to believe that Percy's been gone 7 years. Right. It just blows my mind. I hadn't been to this venue. They moved out here to Port Hueneme not too long after Percy died, if I remember correctly. So it had been almost seven at this point, 3 years ago. It had been over 4 years since I've been to a Championship Wrestling Hollywood show. So to be able to not only, you know, reacquaint with Mr. Marquez and, you know, see everybody, but to see the world's title defended was just awesome. You know, there is no more important championship for me as a long-term fan than the 10 pounds of gold. And I've said it before, you know, I was raised I was grandfathered into the business as a WWE fan. I'll make no mistake about that. But the NWA championship is the most prolific, the most prestigious championship I've seen defended in person.
Uh-oh, it's going to make me watch an ad. 1 second.
Okay, well, I will pause it. Let me know what your timestamp is when we get there. And I will resume when you get there.
Okay.
Damn these YouTube ads.
Agreed. I am at 12:19.
21, 22, 23, 24. Okay, there we go. All right, there we go.
Double down right now.
Both men are down. That's it. The count is on. I even like the NW Hollywood logo. I see the logo that it's actually on the shirt I wore on the show yesterday because I have the old NWA Hollywood shirt. It just has that same logo with the red and white NWA letters above it. I cherish that shirt, man. I love it. Wear that my 10 pounds of gold pin every Wednesday. 6 Eastern, by the way, if you want to catch that show on Wednesdays. Had a great show yesterday. We had Todd Kennelly and Alyssa Marino, both from the broadcast team yesterday. It was fun. And a brief cameo by Andy Brown, which is funnier than hell. Try my damnedest to see if I can get one of these two guys on the show at some point, since the pay-per-views are a joint venture of United Wrestling and of the NWA. However, I don't know why, but Nick Aldis has me blocked, so I'm trying to maybe if I can figure that out, I can get him on the show. That was a big old man.
I thought he lost his footing.
So did I. Jeez. What's so crazy is he is a mid-50s school teacher. Like he teaches history in his quote unquote.
And he was NWA World's Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, he was the oldest champion.
I didn't want to say anything. I was like, you know, he looks like he's an older individual.
He is. Yeah, for the longest time, it had been Luthez, of course, back in the day. But, Tim surpassed the mark. If you look over the corner of the announcers there, you see the Percy Pringle Cup there in the background. They were getting ready to do the PP3 Cup tournament during that taping.
The Mac Daddy driver. Why not just call it the Michinoku driver? I mean, that's what it is.
Well, because it's, you know, it is what it is. Oh, chop block. Damn. Mm-hmm. He chopped that tree down. Let's see. Tim Storm with the Miz-like approach to the figure four. Love you, Miz. Just saying. Jeez. Although, you know what? With legs that big and that thick, you know, once it's on, it's going to hurt like a mother.
I've been in a figure four. It's not. It doesn't tickle.
Yes. So, okay. Just so you know, I did try this earlier today before we went to record this. There was an interaction on Twitter between our buddy SJK and Pierce. And I asked both of them, Do either of you have access to that match? Because that'd be neato. So hopefully somebody responds. Well,
you'll have to send me that conversation, because I'll be like, hey, I was there for your match. I mean, Adam Pearce, I know, has seen my tweets before, because he's liked them.
Right. Well, Adam put a tweet out of him, like a GIF of him in his early days with long flowing hair and the worst single at this side of this side of Andre the Giant. And he says, here's to never wearing that singlet ever again. And Corey tweeted back, he goes, oh, come on. You and I both know you wear that singlet under your suit every week just in case. And Adam Pearce tweeted back a GIF of Will Ferrell stroking his chin going,
hey, always bring your gear.
That's right. Always be prepared. It's just so funny to think that these two guys who, were in a, not to demean the promotion, but a little bitty promotion in 2008 for the World Championship are now prominent figures on WWE television. I love it. I love the business, man. I love every bit of it. Unlike Nogales, love these right hands. Not so much.
Whoop.
Slip through. I thought
he was going to toss him over the top rope.
Easy there, CK. Easy there, big fella. Oh, jeez.
That was the weirdest looking powerbomb I've ever seen.
That was a brutal power. I don't know if he was going for the... He looked like he was going to go for the Billy Goat's Gruff there for a second there by Cole Cabana. Then he turned into the Kingsland Corbelief. Or, excuse me, the Billy Goat's Curse. Should have been trying to pay attention. I only stop at the Colt win the title for that, but, what do I know? And he is just all...
I figure that's more uncomfortable than being on your stomach, being all twisted up like that.
Right? That's it.
All See, I thought all this was going to throw him over the top. I was like, is that still a rule in the NWA? Okay.
I don't think it is anymore. No, I think Billy and they're really... Okay, that's enough of that. Oh, man. The heart of a lion. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, a little bit. I would say Rouse understatement there, Joe. Jeez. He's just so big you can't pick him up. What the hell? Don't get frustrated, Nick. Oh, nice slip through, nice duck through there. Is he going for his own version of the cloverleaf? Nope. Oh, got him rolled up. Look at that.
What happened?
Two. Whoa. Switch. He's in the ropes. Hey, wait a minute. One, two. He got him. Well, there you go. The first NWA match under the auspices of William Patrick Corgan, and Tim Storm is still the world champion. Now, the controversy is, did Tim push off with the rope to get the leverage?
Is that really controversial, though? Because he wasn't actually in the ropes.
No, but it did appear to observers that Tim, in the process of the roll-through, pushed off with his foot on the bottom rope and got himself the leverage to roll back into the center of the ring and get the pin. That was the contesting that Nick was doing later, which led to their match in, I believe up by you, either in Pennsylvania or up in maybe New Jersey in December, and the title, of course, changed hands, as we all know. So, and that was it. So, there you go. There it is. And you can't see me still, I don't think. That's okay. I'm not so vain where it matters at this point. And Nick's frustrated, man. There you go. So, well, there it is. So, again, we're going to close the show today with the interview I did with Tim about 30 minutes after what you just saw, because I'm going to throw the audio up of that, because I love it. I love the whole thing. And it was really cool because Dylan was too young to really remember seeing Pierce and Colt and them with the championship 5 years prior. So to have him see the world's championship defended when he can remember it, and actually take a picture with the champion. And I'll throw those pictures up there too on social media today. Just because Tim's just such he is a mountain of a man. For a 57-year-old school teacher, he's huge. And to see this little bitty, you know, Dylan was what, not even 10 yet. So just a little bitty boy next to this mountain of a man. And just, and again, you know, I don't know if you've actually gotten to do this in your time in wrestling or as a fan, but to hold that championship, the 10 pounds of gold, is just a whole other level.
I've never had that, or like any replica of the NWA title. So no, I've never had that.
Wow. Yeah. You know that they created the new belt, and they know it's not the one that, you know, currently hangs outside Hunter's office. It's not the same belt. And we know that, but it's the fact of that belt and its lineage, its history is just, it is the business. It really is. Because if you think about it, without the NWA forming in 1948, who knows how much of a clusterfuck the business would be.
So was the last time the original belt was shown on TV, like the promo before WrestleMania 24 with Flair and HBK?
Technically, no. As far as on Raw, SmackDown, or the like, yes. But Easter egg hunt for those of you out there that have the network. During the Warrior documentary, where they talk about Warrior coming back to the company, when Warrior is walking into Hunter's office, the camera pans up ever so slightly and ever so briefly, and the 10 pounds of gold is sitting there in a glass case above the door. It's like, oh shit, there it is. Because what happened was, and again, this is rumor innuendo I've heard. I don't know how much of it's true. I'm not looking to, you know, cause a slander suit by any means. The rumor innuendo is Flair had leveraged the belt as collateral in a deal with High Spots, and High Spots tried to get the belt taken away from Rick, because Rick basically owned the belt, because Jimmy Crockett gave it to him in 86 when the Big Gold debuted. So Flair had the belt for the last however long it was by that point. And High Spots tried to get the belt away from Rick. So WWE being WWE and Hunter being Hunter, basically paid off the High Spots loan and kept the belt as a fee, for lack of a better term. So Hunter, being the guy that spearheaded the fix, the belt's now hanging outside his office. Or displayed. The belt now, and everybody's going to say, well, wait a minute, Jeff. Rick tells the story of signing the belt to Hunter, and, you know, I wish I could drop a suit in 85. That actually, the belt they're referring to in that, Rick is referring to, is the, what we now know as the Vegas Gold. The one that Flair was given in 91 when he was the Real World Champion, and they digitized it, and then they brought it back in 94 in WCW, when he was feuding with Hogan, and they did a promo of him. I think it was during Fall Brawl, if I remember correctly, of 94. And Rick was on the phone via satellite, and the belt was in front of him, and he was claiming to be the real champion because he'd beaten Hogan for whatever reason. I forget the whole story now. And that was the belt they used. So that is the belt he signed to Hunter, whatever it was, in the early part of the 2000s. So. There we go. Historical reference from Jeff Meacham. As far as the grades, the grading, because I know we said we would pick a grading system after last week's attempt at copying the Meltzer graphics. I think we should do letter grades like a school teacher, because I am the professor.
Okay.
We should do grades, and I firmly give it a solid B+, only not an A because of the controversial nature of the finish, and they would go on to do that.
I would give it a solid B. B plus seems a little high for me.
Okay.
The ending was a little, I don't want to say questionable, because that was probably the planned finish, but it was not. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Convoluted is a good term.
That. So I'll give it a B.
There you go. Very good. Well, as we are in October now, that means it's time for the spooky, which means it's time for Halloween, which means it's time for Halloween Havoc. And as technically masterful as this match came off pretty well. I mean, you got two of the best in the business at the time. Next week is a brawl. It's ugly. It's Cactus Jack. It's Big Van Vader. It's Halloween Havoc 93. It is a, I believe it's either a Texas Death Match or a False Killing War match. But either way, the goal is to make your opponent answer the 10 count or they lose. And Mick Foley famously describes this match in his first autobiography as the match in which he literally tried to end his own career and cash in on a Lloyd's of London insurance policy. So I encourage you guys to spend the next 7 days decorating your house with the orange and black and getting the spookies up and watch this match. Let us know what you think going in, and we will definitely we will hopefully be back on video next week. It's just honestly, like I said, I don't feel good cosmetically, and the office is a mess, so meh. So I appreciate you guys sticking with us on Anchor today. It is much appreciated. We will throw now to the interview I did with Tim immediately after today's NWA Championship match back from 2017. It was right after the show was over, and it was a meet and greet session, and here it is. So for Greg Cherry, thank you, sir, absolutely, again for being here with me. Much appreciated. We will see you guys next week right here on Wrestling Rewind.
Staying here with the victorious and still the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Tim Storm. I got to say, it's the first time I've seen the title defended here in over 5 years, yeah. Tim. Very impressive. Thank Congratulations you very on retaining the championship. What's next?
Well, this coming weekend, I'm in Clarksville, Tennessee for a big match there. And I'll tell you, you brought up some trivia history. Somebody told me earlier that this is the first time this has been defended in this county.
Yes.
Since 1976, when Harley Race defended it.
You are correct. That's awesome. That's history.
That is history.
And that's history. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.